Do you hug people when you see them?
I like to hug people, but a hug is a two-way street. You have to be able to read the situation and know,
yeah,
okay,
that,
I'm going to hug.
Is crucial.
Like, I'm going to hug Eddie, and then you get the look on the face like, oh, my God, he's going to hug me.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now, here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're ready to roll. And I don't do this all the time, for the record, but like Babe Ruth in the 32 World Series in Wrigley, I think.
Works
for me. I'm calling my shot. This one's going to be a home run. I guarantee it. Why? Because I know who is in Studio 66, seated to my immediate left and hovering over my left shoulder on Skype. I don't know what. What's a bad guy's name from Force Awakens? That guy who's Snoke, a giant head.
All right.
Joining us ominously from Carolina, it's Will Brinson. We'll say proper hellos in a minute. You just heard the voice of Handsome Hank, and we had some hugging controversy at Dodger Stadium last week. We're going to dig in on that. Well, I said you don't have to pull back the curtain. Actually, we already discussed it, as you just heard there. We're going to see if we can recreate that with the two participants. And one of the more awkward hugs I've witnessed in the last couple of years, Matt Money Smith and MVP behind the glass. But to the here and now, let's jump into it. First of all, we'll say hello to the guy who's one half of the best radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. Kind enough to have me sit in at Dodger Stadium. Chavez Ravine, sunlight, glorious, beer, so on, so forth. Matt Money Smith, what's the poop, fella?
Thanks for doing that.
Wait a minute.
It's been a while.
Hold on. Skinny legs are golden. That's enough. I don't want to make Brinson wait another moment, though. How are you?
Well, thanks for doing that. Had a great time with you. You made a lesson learned when we had that wonderful conversation with Sweet James Bergener about our bet, which was very important because you are a man of honor, as you pointed out. So when it comes time to snip your finger off, or maybe two, and you give me permission, I now know, according to Sweet James,
you can't do it. But I'm a man of honor.
I know, but even so,
I'm still not going to sue you. I'm not going to charge you with
a felony. Well, no, but he said that just criminally, the police can decide to arrest me because it's a criminal.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
I don't even have to bring charges.
No.
Johnny
Law says, hey, that guy snipped off two fingers from Dave Dameshek. Even though he doesn't want to press charges, we as a society cannot allow
digits laying around on the streets.
So
bloody digits.
Your digits are saved.
All right. Well, listen. You know what? I'm still not willing to close the book on that because I still think I'm alive in that one.
Not even.
And
close.
How? Now,
dead
to the man. Listen. This is.
I know. I don't want to make it awkward.
I know. I'm a terrible host because I bring this guy on at Matt Money Smith's request. I say to Money and I are talking a couple of weeks ago, and I say, yeah, Will Brinson, this and that. Oh, and oh, Money. Oh, I love Will Brinson. Will Brinson's a great fella.
Yeah.
So I said, listen, if Money's making the trip to join us on the DDFP, let's fulfill one of his dreams and get the kibitz here with Will Brinson as well. That being said, I can't plug your stuff properly because you have to give the name Will Brinson. You're doing a lot of great work over there at CBS, hosting a daily show now, eh? Tell the people about it.
That's the only thing that you really need to plug, Dave. It is
okay.
The Pick Six podcast.
Pick Six.
And we do. The goal is about 30 minutes long, six topics, 5 minutes each. We're running through every team in the NFL, breaking them down team by team right now to get us through the maw of the off season. And it's going to continue to be daily, Monday through Friday, right into the season. And people have been pretty receptive. So, like, if you've got a commute and you don't want to deal with the drudgery of being in your car, or you want to go to the gym, or just like to stare at your family in the morning over a cup of coffee, this is the podcast for you. And by the way, we were talking about the things behind me here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for my Shecky to arrive in
Wait
in the
a
mail.
Second. Wait a second. MVP. There's
oh,
no
boy.
Shecky Award.
Now you've done it, Will.
Brinson has won a Shecky Award as our favorite non-football playing guest.
I'll have to correct that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Should think so,
yep.
Miss.
You told me.
No
hugs coming from me.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, one, I would say that MVP has been busy with the award-winning broadcast, so you got to cut her a little bit of slack there. And two, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the respect is mutual completely money. So thank you for the invite.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, can I, because the respect is mutual, can I make a request? Just because, you know, I don't know how loose with it we can get here, but, you know, back in the day.
Not when, very.
When the Greeks,
I like to keep it nice and rigid.
Yes.
I stick to my outline.
Well, I don't know if this is going to be too blue, this conversation. But I'll try to keep it in historical perspective. You know, back in the day, the Greeks, when they would gather, all the men would be in the nude. And if, for instance, a certain man had something that the other guys didn't, they would applaud. They would applaud,
right.
You know, what genetics had bestowed upon him. And that was just the way they dealt with them, you know, their meetings, when men would gather to discuss things. I am feeling like I ought to applaud right now because I am a man, for those that watch, that can see. I do not have any chest hair. I've got nothing going. I got nothing going. But Will over here has got his Vinny Del Negro going on. I mean, that is Vinny Del Negro-esque, coming out of a shirt that was buttoned and had a tie, yet his plume.
Well, he's not yet. It's not like he's going Hollywood.
He's trying to cover it up.
Right. He's not. He's not down three buttons. I mean, it's he's butt. He's got his
polo
golf
is
shirt
up as high as it can go.
Right. Well, he didn't go top button.
Well, he'd have to go Bubba Watson. Yeah, and look ridiculous.
But we do see what you're all man, huh? You take you lose that shirt, we're gonna see what a man looks like, huh?
Yeah, and a mid 30s dad man.
Swarthy.
That is impressive, Will. That is an impressive patch of hair you got going on that chest of yours, my friend.
It's a little bit of Austin Powersy in that it's very top heavy, but just to pull. I mean, look, I got to be honest. It's May in North Carolina here. It's 84 degrees outside. Ooh. Somehow in May. It should be a beautiful 70 degrees. So my office is a little cooking. Hence, there was no way I was going to be in a full regalia.
Hey, no apologies asked for.
I'm the winner. I appreciate that as a man that does not have any chest hair. I really do appreciate what you got. And you're 30 what? I'm 45, and I don't have
that
going on.
What do you think? Do you think women – because I've been told – I always have – well-covered soil. I'm vain. And I always thought that that the vast majority of women resented my machismo that I wear on my chest, you know. Hirsute, I think they call it.
They sure do.
MVP – Is what would the average? What do you think if you polled all the women in the world? Do they prefer a man with who looks like a man or one who looks like money?
I don't appreciate that. I don't think that's the way you had to frame that.
This
well, it's
tough.
There's no mistaking it. You know, as Adam Carolla, you want to dip into the blue talk. Carolla will tell you, you know, he's like, I don't understand guys who aren't into. You know what? Maybe we are getting a little
sideways there. Let's keep it between the lines.
Never mind. Yeah. I retract where I started there. But MVP, do answer my hypothetical poll question.
I'm thinking no chest, as little chest hair as possible.
Well, in the spirit of what Carolla will say without actually saying what he would say about it, I think that, you know, I would think that women would like a man with some hair because it's something women don't have. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think it probably
it's a distinguishing aspect.
Generational, right? I mean, now you look at the men's health magazines and they're all shorn and they're oiled up and they're you can see every curve and muscle and sinew that they got going on. Back in the day when we were kids,
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah,
was the
I mean,
gold
you take
standard.
Off that shirt and Burt's got a patch and a half going, right?
So, yeah, Brinson's like he's the 21st century Burt Reynolds.
Exactly right. And I'm like little Linus over
I'm
here.
I'm going to start calling him the Bandit even.
Oh, not bad.
Bandit Brinson.
Bandit Brinson.
All right. Now what? What do you want to talk about, Spaghetti? You want to talk about the fast food hot takes?
I like the fast food list. That's a list I like. I think it's a pretty good rundown by Emma. I think number 7 could be pretty funny.
Oh, wait.
Is Sully still in that other room to see if we acknowledge him?
Sully's over here.
Yeah, there he is.
Before anything else, let's acknowledge somebody else, our pal Kent Brown, one of the producers behind the glass there.
We got one?
Actually, not Kent Brown, rather his mother from Pittsburgh. She is the quintessential Pittsburgher, as her
favorite thing here.
Her accent will indicate to you. She calls in to him and leaves him voicemail sometimes, just impromptu. She's renting a movie, and sometimes we'll review it beforehand, sometimes after watching the picture. Here today is Shape of Water, Kent Brown's mom.
Hey, I just rented The Shape of Water. It's interesting. Okay. All the movies that are on that place to rent, there's nothing else I want to watch now. I think I've watched the ones I wanted to watch. Okay, call me later. Bye-bye.
So good.
That's one
so
of my
good.
Favorite ones, even though she didn't say anything
I'm telling
about
you.
The movie.
Kent Brown has got to change his Twitter feed to his mother's movie reviews. That is what it has to be. I just watched The Shape of Water. There was nothing else there that I was interested
okay.
in. Okay. Okay. That's it. That's your review. That is your review of Shape of Water.
Isn't Shape of Water the one where the janitor falls in love with the water alien?
Yes.
That's the
wrong?
One. That's the one.
Right. But, like, you could even hear that in the voicemail. Like, Kent's mom is clearly terrified of saying, I don't know how I feel about a janitor falling in love with an alien. Like, on a voicemail, and therefore just,
Promiscuous young janitor there that's mute and falls for an Aquaman. And love ensues, you know? But no, instead it was, there was nothing else. Okay. That's the review.
All right. Let's do, you know what? Again, let's do something else before the fast food takes here. Eddie Spaghetti's a little bored. I know what one thing that I know shakes him out of his malaise.
Is?
His own game show. It's time for Use Your Noodle.
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle.
Boodle.
And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle.
And now, here's your host, Eddie Spaghetti.
All right, guys, I'm going to let you pick today. Do you want to do an NBA Finals-related question? Or...
Eddie Spaghetti has had some very funny tweets of late.
Yes, he has. I commented on one yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Slammed me on that one. Good.
I did.
That was a good one.
I did.
I'll admit defeat. That's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we could do an NFL QB-related one, or we could do an NBA Finals one.
Let's do well, you know what? I'll throw it to the guests. Money?
We've had kind of an NBA theme today, right, with the okay. lottery. And Rinsen. Although, unless you want to get some more football in here, maybe we've been lacking.
Okay, let's
so
do
either works.
Let's do that. Let's do – everybody always – no matter what time of year it is, people always are down to talk yeah. about quarterbacks.
Okay, this question is, can you name the NFL QBs with 30,000 passing yards and 250 touchdown passes? Oof.
Whoa.
I'm going to get
– how many are there?
Less than 20, I think. Yeah, it looks like that.
All right.
I am going to get waxed.
Who
starts? The guest in the Carolinas
here? Want to start it with Brinson?
Yeah, I might as well.
Let's start it with Brinson. Go ahead, Brinson. Name one.
There's 21, sorry.
21. You name one, and then
is it cheating if we write down the players that have already been named?
No.
Okay.
No rule against that. Brinson?
I'll go Tom Brady.
Oh, I would love if he went out on the first one. That would have been great. Money?
Peyton Manning.
I'm going to go with Dan Marino.
Of course.
Of course what? He's
on
the list.
You can't. Oh, I got to get the Pitt Panther in here before anybody else steals
the obvious
him. What would that say?
It.
What would that say about me?
Drew Brees.
Anthony Smith.
Brett Favre.
Dang, that was the one I was just going to do. Eli Manning. Brinson.
He taps on the NC State.
He goes Phil Rivers. All right, money.
I will go 30,000.
Yes, 30,000 and 250 touchdowns.
All right. I will go.
Wow, 30,000 out here.
I know.
Can't believe money's.
I'm just trying to think 30,000. Joe Montana.
The most forgotten guy who improbably still ranks among the all-time statistical leaders among NFL QBs, Francis Tarkenton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the last guy in that 2004 class that would be in this list.
Damn it, that was mine.
I was going to do that one, too. I should have taken that one. Money?
Dan Fouts.
I had him down. Dang. All right. I didn't think you were going to get that one, Money. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Brinson?
Needed that one.
You're up, Sheck.
Oh, I'm up.
Yeah.
I don't care for that news. I wasn't ready here yet. I don't know if I was ready. It's got to be. Why am I going to do a crazy one here? Why would I possibly throw out a crazy name here? There's no reason. It's too early to throw out a ridiculous name, but I'm going to do it. And that crazy name wore the Carolina Panthers helmet. He's the first QB to wear. It's Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, he's gone.
No, really?
He's gone.
Dang. All right, let's stop the game. No one cares anymore. All right, Brinson, go ahead. Really?
Johnny Unitas.
I was sure Kerry Collins was up there. Dang.
John Elway.
Oh, man. This stinks. Are you cheating, Brinson? I see you on the computer. Okay, all right. You're a man of honor. Look at that. He even shows it to prove it. I love it.
This might be a stretch and I might miss, but I'm going to try it. No, that can't be right.
Oh, man. I just thought of another one.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
All right. This might need a ruling.
Oh, I know.
Warren Moon.
He's in there either way. You mean including CFL or not?
Yeah, I figured he's in there anyway.
Why didn't I take easy? Why do I do that? Why do I overthink? Why do I do it that way? Because there's another good name out there. Mm-hmm. When you said that.
Bart Starr.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is
money.
Me.
You gotta
this
get
is
this.
Me for the
there's
win.
There's so many that you can use to get this one.
Troy Aikman.
Oh, I had a feeling that was not going to do it. When you said, wait, so now Brinson, it goes back
goes
to you.
Goes back to Brinson. Oh.
Yes, goes back to you.
I want to say Tony Romo.
Oh, all right, so now it's back to me. Yes.
Can I give a clue?
No.
Is that inappropriate?
No, don't give me a clue. I got this.
All right.
This is terrible.
I have a good clue. I mean, there are a lot. I can't believe that I failed in this manner. I finished in third place to Bandit Brinson and
how
Money
about
Smith.
Randall Cunningham?
Damn! Oh, no, there are a couple big ones out there.
Damn,
there are a couple big ones. The numbers are concerning, but I'll give the longevity. What about Terry Bradshaw?
All right, here we go.
This is it.
Steve Young. All right,
this
Brinson.
Is getting embarrassing.
It is.
Humiliating. Joe Namath.
That's a winner.
What? Oh, look at that.
Oh, because of the AFL, right. That isn't going to include those numbers.
All right, I got to get this.
This is a humiliation all the way around.
Carson Palmer.
There you go, money.
Wow. Carson Palmer wins. But Bart's
I thought for sure I was going to get bounced in this one, and yet I come out as the victor. I mean, what do you know? Isn't that great? The guy who's just a sweater. He's just a host. That's all he is, and he comes
Jim
out
Kelly?
With, oh, my goodness. Yeah, Jim Kelly.
That's who I thought you were going to say when you said I'm going to need a ruling on this one.
Right.
What?
Jim Kelly?
Jim Kelly isn't in there?
How about that?
I can give you guys the rest of the names. That was a lot of fun. No. It's the names you missed. Vinny Testaverde.
Sure.
Right.
Drew Bledsoe.
Well,
there's one more current NFL quarterback.
Current NFL QB, eh?
Yeah.
Pat Staub.
Current. It's not Matt Ryan, is it?
It is.
It is Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, yeah. And then Dave Craig and Sonny Jurgensen.
See, I was going to go Sonny. Sonny was going to be one of my early ones.
Dave Craig. Mm.
See, that tells you everything you need to know about the NFL, by the way, because there's this soft middle part where a compiler like a Vinny Testaverde could end up in that category because he played a little bit later than a guy like a Bart Starr who just couldn't put up the number. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't get to those numbers when you played back in the day unless you were just an not Rushmore guy.
No Kerry Collins though, eh? Hey, speaking of Hall of Fame QBs and such, what do you guys think? Actually, I stole this from the Twitter. Somebody asked or was talking about Drew Brees with Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. Move the Sticks, and said, is Drew Brees the least physically gifted Hall of Fame quarterback ever? And I thought that was a great subject. I said, maybe it would be Joe Montana. Third-round pick, smallish guy, not a big whip. Is there a better answer to the question than that?
Yeah, I think in terms of Breeze, it's just his stature. Because, I mean, he can huck the heck out of the ball. I mean, that's an athletic motion. I mean, throwing a football in the manner in which he throws it is athletic. And he's pretty nimble in the pocket. So I think if you were to ask me who's less athletic, I would say Montana's less athletic than Breeze for sure.
Wouldn't you almost say that, like, Ben Roethlisberger's less athletic than Drew Brees? Just in, I don't know. Like, Ben Roethlisberger's big and strong, but
he's a little heavy-footed. Yeah. He's a little heavy-footed.
Now he is. The first half of his career.
He could move a little bit.
Get around.
He could move a little bit.
And he's he still has that, you know, premier arm.
What was it? How was it phrased exactly? Would Drew Brees be the
– Well, I guess physical tools.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, physical tools is different because, like, when you think about Phillip Rivers, I mean, he just stands in a pocket. He barely moves, and he just deals. You know, he's not real. But then when you stand next to him and you see the way he's built, you're like, that's a pretty impressive physical specimen, actually. It's not, you know, however he operates on the field, notwithstanding, when you see him walking around in shorts and a dry fit, it's like, yeah.
I asked Sully this question back there behind the glass. He said Johnny U might be in the conversation as well. Anywho, hey, let's talk about Sully brought up another subject on the Twitter, and Will Brinson reacted to it. It had to do with the fact that some millennials, there's a little video running around there on social media right now of millennials not enjoying, is that what it was, Sully, Chick-fil-A? They didn't like Chick-fil-A or they didn't know how to eat a chicken sandwich? Is that what happened?
So it was, I think it was Business Insider. That I saw Brinson tweeting about it. They got on there and said just terrible things like, this is a bad chicken sandwich. I like soggy McDonald's fries over Chick-fil-A waffle fries. Like, those are terrible, terrible hot takes. Awful. And Brinson said our future is
why did you wait a second?
Not
why
great.
I want to go back. I'm sorry to nitpick, but why are you indicting McDonald's fries, which are the standard of fries?
Somebody on the video said that they enjoy soggy McDonald's fries over that Chick-fil-A. I think
I don't even know what that means. How do you order them?
Give me the soggy.
They said the Chick-fil-A waffle fry was too potato-y for them. What does that even mean?
It's a potato.
May not be for you.
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead, Will.
No, there are a lot of people who are, you know, you have the steak fries. I don't like those thick cut steak fries.
Thank you, Brinson.
You're wrong.
No, those are terrible. And if you get some undercooked Chick-fil-A fries, they can be very potatoey and they can't be great. We actually, if you're smart, you can order them well done. You can actually ask that at Chick-fil-A and they're better off. But the my bigger issue is these kids were eating this fried chicken sandwich and complaining that it was like they didn't understand why it was a fried piece of chicken or why it was on bread or why it was
too salty. It was too chickeny.
It's a fried chicken sandwich. What the
no.
I do think Chick-fil-A is extremely overrated, though.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. I think it's wildly overrated.
Don't do that.
It's the In-N-Out burger of the South.
I see what you're doing there. You're trying to come back, you know. I jab, you jab. You know, we're going to dance around a little bit here.
You're in Brinson. You live in, and Sully, you know,
I'm confused by what Sully claims now. What is he?
Chattanooga, I see that Macaulay helmet.
By the way, I hear from people who live in SEC country, ACC country, people will tell you that Bojangles is better than
breakfast.
That is correct.
Breakfast is better. Bo-berry biscuits are undefeated.
The Cajun chicken filet, egg and cheese combo is an unstoppable behemoth that is the best breakfast item in the history of the world.
It's a breakfast sandwich?
Yes.
It's a breakfast biscuit. It's
okay.
You can only eat one for the rest of your life, Chick-fil-A or Bojangles.
Ooh.
It would be Chick-fil-A for primarily like a health reason, because I think you could eat Chick-fil-A and survive on a breakfast. You could eat breakfast and lunch and dinner and survive, and the variety is there. If you were just trying to be a shooter, you know, a rocket shooting into space and just die of a greasy fried chicken death, Bojangles did your play.
Bojangles is way more greasy than Chick-fil-A.
I don't even know why I'm indulging the opinion. Sully is more cut from my cloth. You know, he's a man of a certain carriage. You two combined weigh about 128.
Doesn't mean I can't put it down and have it. Doesn't mean I and I don't appreciate the shot at it.
It's not a.
It's you know, people think they're clever. They think they're clever.
It is a opinion to say
it's worst fries.
You're crazy.
Worst fries. This anywhere.
Easy there. Waffle fry. Easy there.
Waffle fries are outstanding.
Whatever.
Brinson.
And it's not about the fry. It's about the sandwich.
That's right.
This is a sandwich bracket that we're doing.
Whoever just goes to fast food and just gets a burger.
Okay, I'll take the burger fry combo at In-N-Out over a soggy Chick-fil-A sandwich and their waffle fries. You know? I mean, you got to get them both.
I like that every place you have to get it soggy for some reason. I don't even know what that means. What is this soggy order that it keeps coming up?
Well, I think the Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's not a crispy breading. It is more of like a soggy style breading. It's not super crispy. Cut the roof of your mouth if you bite into it.
Brinson, win, play, show, fry preparation.
Oh.
Style of fry.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't care. I'm not here for the hipster fries. Give me win Arby's curly fries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Little too spicy.
Wait a second. Do they do? Because I've brought
this
up before.
They do the jack-in-the-box style. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Ooh, that's nice.
Why? Just, you know, here, Emma VP's not going to like what I'm about to say here, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've said these things before. when she points out sometimes if I bring up certain observations.
Repeatedly.
More than one time.
Sure.
I will say, just as, for some reason, universally, the raspberry, when you make candies, is the one everybody, all candy makers the world over, decided like, yep. Well, we have too many red candies. Raspberry, you're blue. And everybody signed off on that, even though there's no such thing as a blue raspberry any more than there is a blue watermelon. But the raspberry gets that one. Pistachios. Really? Why did the pistachio? Who decided? You know what? They all are kind of like earthy tone. Let's make it red. They put red dye on the pistachio about 25, 40 years ago. Why did that happen?
It was weird.
Only to the pistachio, though. Also, the curly fry. Why does it only get the spice on it? Who decided only the curly fry shall get that weird spice flavor to it?
It's like an orange nature. It's almost like before sweet potato fries became a thing. It has the same coloring and not texture, but I mean it is like
because inside it's just a white interior. It's got that weird red exterior though.
Basic potato. I assume it was to keep colorblind people who. You have a serious distaste for curly fries away from eating them. It's my only logic.
A visual aid. Yes. I mean, listen, we can talk about it all day, and I do think the Burger King fry is slightly underrated. It is nice. It has its own flavor. Same shape as the McDonald's fries, but let's not tax our brains too much here. The McDonald's fry is the winner.
It's quite tasty. Now, are we including... I don't know if Fat Burger's considered specialty because I know I'm on an island here, but the Fat Burger steak fry is, I believe, the best burger fry around.
The steak fry is not good, and the reason it isn't is inconsistency within the batch.
You're going to the wrong place.
No.
You're going to the wrong places.
You can get – because there's too much variation with size, and then that yields the aforementioned too potato-y. You know, raw, in other words. You get a raw one, nothing more repellent. Nothing ruins eating a fry like a batch of fries, like getting one. Like, oh, that should have been in there for an extra 90 seconds.
The same thing with skinny fries. I mean, there's inconsistency. Wendy's fries are below average. You know, you heard Sully say he didn't like In-N-Out fries. Those are skinny fries. I mean, McDonald's fries are great. Burger King, I can give or take them. They're a little more crispy. They kind of, I think they wear on you. It's hard to get through an entire box. When you take those first couple, you're like, ooh, pretty good. And then by the time you're halfway through, it's like, eh. So I think there's the same inconsistency.
I hail Burger King for long ago, too. They didn't just jump in on this. Onion ring, too. Hey, you're not fry ain't your thing?
That's a good onion ring. Burger King's a good onion ring. I'm with you there.
Brinson?
My second place would be, I think I go, I would go Bojangles fries. They put a lot of Cajun seasoning on them. They're a nice mixture. I don't know if you guys have had them or not, but they're a nice mixture between what would be sort of a more potato-y steak fry and what is a skinnier fry. But they're long and flat. And I will say, too, Money, the problem with the steak fry is if you get a bad one, it's like biting into a baked potato.
It can be. But when you get a good one. See, I'll push back and say when you get the perfect steak fry, nothing's close. I mean,
you know
what
a steak fry is good for is if you're having or even thicker cut, doesn't have to be the proper steak fry. When you get the moule frite, you know, you ever go out when you get the mussels, the moule frite or whatever it's called. What's it called, MVP?
I think you're on the right track.
Moule frite?
Oui.
We indeed. You put it into the sauces there. You know, put it in the bucket there, pull it out 3-4 minutes later.
It's like a thing. So you're eating mussels.
Just absorb the gravy. Yeah, okay. Just absorb that sauce. It's delicious.
Steak,
okay.
Steak frites also very good.
There you go. Steak frites.
Sully, before we wrap it up here, Sully, spaghetti, I should say, you wrote down here, would you rather, explain your would you rather here. Would you rather Dez Bryant, and then you listed off any number
no,
of.
I can't take credit for that. That was
I put that one on there.
Emma's idea.
Oh, Emma VP. Yeah. So you want a head-to-head one by one here.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with Will Brinson here. Would you rather have Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall?
Right now or?
Yeah, right now.
Right for 2018 season.
Emma VP, is that how you mean it? For
yeah, right
now,
right
who
now.
Do you want on your team?
Dez Bryant, no question. I think that both guys are worn down and not exactly going to be number one receivers, but Dez is at least a guy that you can sort of use as a glorified tight end and maybe a red zone weapon and a guy who can convert third downs by high pointing the ball, as his old teammate Jason Witten pointed out. Plus, Brandon Marshall, never been to the playoffs. Kind of a problem. You're jinxing yourself if you sign Brandon Marshall.
Ooh, that's weird. Yeah, that's a good one. I agree with you about Dez. I know he's at limited value, but, you know,
I'd rather
a lot
have
of teams
Brandon.
That you always hear about struggling in the red zone could use old Dez.
He advances and gets housed by Fitzgerald.
We don't need to.
So now Fitzgerald has advanced.
Yeah, Fitzgerald. We'd have Crabtree. Everybody would take Crabtree, right?
I'd still take Larry Fitz. Advanced age and everything. I'd still rather
have Larry Fitz.
So
we're not, so
look
now
at the
we're
face up. On Brinson.
Larry Fitzgerald over Alshon Jeffrey. Not over Alshon Jeffrey.
I think I still do.
You would rather, both of you, for Brinson and Money, would rather have Larry Fitzgerald than Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes, who's a one-trick pony. Alshon's a one-trick pony, man. Run that way and get this 50-50 ball, and there's very little else that you're going to get out of him. Larry's full service.
Are you aware of what Larry Fitzgerald, from the age of 32 to 34, and I just went to Pro Football Reference and did the math on it just to confirm that I didn't want to throw out numbers without some accuracy here. His average season over the last 3 years, from ages 32 to 34, after people had written off Larry Fitzgerald, 108 catches, 1,131 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's
it's ridiculous.
A receiver, that's absurd.
Yeah.
You're going to take Larry Fitzgerald over Jordy Nelson?
No question.
Yeah.
That I agree with. Okay, yeah. That I agree with. How about one more, Adam Thielen?
Now, this one's a little Brinson. Interesting. I think I – go ahead, Brinson.
Well, I think that for just the 28th season, and I love Adam Thielen. He is a very precise route runner. He's a guy who's breaking out onto the scene. He remains undervalued. He can get down the field. He can break the game open. He gets some good yards after catch. But if I know that I'm going into 2018 and I'm asking for Larry Fitzgerald's last hurrah, having seen what he's done the last 3 years, I will still take Larry Fitzgerald because I think he's just got a lot of juice left. And could put up a monster season.
So if I'm hearing you right, our collective opinion is, Larry, we're win play showing out of these receivers that are feel at the tail end. Alshon Jeffrey's in his prime. Adam Thielen is emerging onto the scene. The other guys are probably would be collectively regarded as a little long in the tooth. We're going Larry Fitzgerald better than Dez, Brandon Marshall.
No question.
Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey.
Yep.
And then Thielen, too.
Thielen, too.
And then?
Probably Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, 3, right?
I think so.
That would be my order, and a lot would depend on how Jeffrey is recovering from that shoulder surgery. Major shout-out to Alshon Jeffrey for playing through that injury the entire season when he signed a one-year contract, then got the extension, and then helped drag the team to a Super Bowl victory. So I love Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's a little bit boom or bust. Thielen's a more of a precise route runner, but Fitzgerald is the total package and maybe one of the 5 greatest receivers ever. I feel like I'm saying that hesitantly, and it should be more obvious.
I'm with you on that. You know, that's one of my favorite conversations, and it never gets tired to me because it seems like, as opposed to when you start ranking best quarterbacks, best running backs, the best wide receiver in the Super Bowl era, you get Jerry Jones and Jerry Rice, and there are plenty of pro football players who were alongside Jerry Rice and Randy Moss who will tell you Randy Moss was better. And fine, you can have that debate. By the numbers, Antonio Brown is in the conversation now. He's not yet ready to rival Jerry Rice, and the touchdowns are always going to be the red flag when you try to have this conversation against those other guys. However, Antonio Brown, the stretch that he's in, is in the top three now of the Super Bowl era. But Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is four. I think you're right there. And maybe
where's Terrell Owens come in?
He's probably five. Unless you put Michael Irvin ahead of him or Steve Largent. Those are the names I think you're dealing with.
I mean, I'm of the opinion I like the Bojangles, you know, grease yourself up shooting star angle as opposed to the longevity in that sense. So I wouldn't be – I mean, I know you can't put him there because of the numbers, but I mean, I would take Calvin Johnson over Michael Irvin, I think, in terms of just raw physical ability, what he did on the field when he played. And I get that the numbers don't match up, but I think I would take Terrell Owens over Irvin and Largent. Is there somebody who's a fifth guy that we're missing?
No, I think that's it.
I don't think so. I think we're throwing around six, seven names there. Megatron to me, yes, fine, physical specimen, but he's got a little bit of the Andrew Luck thing, which is that he was kissed into the Hall of Fame before he ever stepped onto an NFL field.
It was a line.
I get it, but
yeah,
I mean,
you gotta deal with that.
And also, tip of the hat to sports guy Simmons, you know, the Patrick Ewing effect. The Lions have, and Matt Stafford hasn't exactly fallen off a cliff since Megatron hung it up. What's that, Brinson?
He's gotten better. He's gotten better.
Yeah.
He diversifies his weapons and has Jim Bob Cooter pulling the trigger for him.
Hey, Emma VP, but we've held everybody up long enough, but will you come in here very quickly, please? Thank you. We have to resolve something that happened, and I'd need Brinson to serve as jury. Eddie Spaghetti was there. To tell the tale quickly again, we went to Dodger Stadium. Money was kind enough to have me join in on his Petros and Money radio show, which, of course, you can track down on iHeartRadio or if you're in Los Angeles, AM 570. So he and I wrap up the broadcast, 4 hours of good fun. And Eddie Spaghetti and Emma VP were kind enough to come to the ballpark. They thought, well, this is reason enough for us to show up there. We know two people who are doing a broadcast in front of the game. They went to the game, and so we get off the air, and here come Emma VP and Eddie Spaghetti. Hey, how are you guys? Good to see you. Emma VP and I greet each other. Eddie Spaghetti and I give each other a handshake. Money shakes Spaghetti's hands. And then Emma and Money hugged
each other. It was really awkward.
They hugged each other.
Well, it just seemed weird. She was standing right next to me.
Right.
And it seemed odd to
come on in here, Emma VP.
Shake her hand.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We just got caught in this limbo.
Well, here, what instead of
so
describing it,
I was standing
there,
here and we were having a beer.
Let Brinson's giant head there to judge
you. So we're drinking and leaving.
I want your head right in the middle there to play judge.
But that's – actually, no, have Emma come right here. Have Brinson scoot over a little bit to your right. Scoot all the way to your right because that's where her fiance was standing.
Right.
So she and I are here. Spaghetti is where you are, and you're just on the inside.
But I want to make clear, though, that Emma VP and Matt Money Smith work together and therefore see each other multiple times every week. They don't ever at work, when they see each other at the start of the workday, embrace.
Ever.
Do you?
No.
Do you touch at all?
And I'm not a hugger at all.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. It's just weird. It's always weird for me.
Emma VP, I mean, I'm not a hugger either, but forgive me if I'm wrong, but you're not a hugger, Emma VP, are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much.
Not
of
really.
One. Yeah.
So it was an odd moment. We got caught. I think what happened was we got caught. That's my assessment. I believe I was leaving. So
by
I was
whom?
Saying bye to everybody.
Okay.
So I say bye to you. I say bye to Eddie. I turn to Em and I'm like, I'll see you later. And we just kind of do one of those.
Oh.
And that's it. That's the face you made. You were like, oh. I was like, yeah, that was –
here's where I would come down on this from a jury standpoint. I mean, one, there's nothing wrong with a hug outside of the workplace.
It's perfectly fine.
But the most important thing here is, what would be more offensive to Emma VP if Money reached out his hand and was like, good to see you, and then shook her hand and walked away, or if he like had a semi-awkward hug? And to me, the handshake is more offensive because it implies that they are not cordial enough at work that he would give her a nice hug when he sees her at the ballpark.
Why the interaction at all? Eddie Spaghetti, did you find it strange? You were there. You were a witness.
I think there were social obligations outside of, like, obviously we don't hug and like fist bump high five before we you know, sit in Studio 66 and record. But when you're
outside. I think
outside,
we should start that, though.
I mean, I'm down for it.
Fist bump and then high five.
But if we're outside of Dodger Stadium, it's like, oh, you guys invited us here. Like, hey, how's it going? Like, you can give, like, I would do, like, the handshake or, like, the one arm kind of hug.
It was
like,
a social environment. And, it was not a work environment.
That changes the whole outcome of it. But, like, the worst part was, like, the minute it happened, it was like, there's no way that Dave was going to let that go by without being brought up. So it was just immediate that Dave was like, okay, that was weird. And then we had to talk about it for a good 15 minutes.
Listen, I know I'm vain.
Sorry.
But this isn't a passive-aggressive request that Emma VP hug me.
She needs to get on the mic and weigh in.
But why did Emma VP –
she hugged me because I went in first. I definitely initiated
Emma
it.
Emma did nothing wrong.
No, she did nothing wrong.
I didn't say she did anything
Thanks,
wrong.
Spaghetti.
I'm trying to figure out whether she did something wrong.
No, she did not.
So it's more a question if I did something wrong.
Okay. No. You both – it's weird, but you both had to do it.
Does that make – because I feel like I suffer, and this has been something pretty much my whole life. People who are affectionate in that way, they just seem more laid back and cool. But you have to – the thing that stood out to me about this particular – incident was that it didn't feel laid back and super casual.
No, it was really awkward.
It was very uncomfortable.
That's usually
extremely awkward.
Yeah, with me.
It felt like it happened in super slow-mo to me, the way I see it, the way it plays back in my head.
Well, and it did happen in slow-mo because I did think, like in that moment, I was like,
what am I doing right now?
You know, it was just one of those.
I can't point the right way on this, but that is exactly the problem. Money was caught in limbo,
right?
In terms of not knowing whether to hug or whether to handshake. And when you're caught in that limbo, it is inherently going to make the hug awkward or the handshake awkward. And there's no answer. There's no right or wrong. There's just eternal.
Do you think that you hugged him somewhere in your head, somewhere emotionally, because he's more easygoing, like a cooler guy than I am, and I'm weird? Is that what happened, Emma VP? That's what scares me.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Spaghetti?
I don't want to throw him under the bus, but maybe there should have been hugs all around. Maybe that's what it should have been.
Yep. It is the gender thing is interesting too, because if it's a bunch of guys all shaking hands often,
I know guys who hug each other too when they see each other.
For sure, but
that ain't
often with females. I feel like it's more of a hug.
Very good point. It's a very good point because we could do like the bro hug, like the one arm, like handshake, wrap around. Like I could do that, but the thing is, you can't hesitate. The hesitation is what made this weird. You got to go right into it and own it and just be like, yeah, like you said, I'm the friendly guy. We're at a social environment thing. Like let's just enjoy this. I'm cool with whatever.
Yeah. Well, I also don't like it that, you know,
did you go with Emma to the game or
no?
When you left, what did you do? Did you hug her goodbye or no?
No, I made a point of not hugging her because I just had this conversation after you walked away. I said, what just happened there? And then we dissected it for 10 minutes and then I left. So it would have been weird to punctuate that conversation with a hug.
Or it would have been perfectly. It would have been perfect. Okay, I'll see. What happened? Now, you guys go out a lot. So what happens when the crew goes out on a Saturday night?
Not a big hugger. She's not a big hugger.
Eddie and I often hug when we go out.
Did you hug him for his birthday?
We try like the one arm thing. I'm pro, like you said, handshake, bro hug, like regular hug. I could do that because I'm pretty, like you said, the laid back fun guy. Like I'm nice to everyone. So like I don't want to make it weird because the minute
I'm saying. That doesn't mean I'm not nice to people. It doesn't make
strangers.
Me a bad person because I don't want to hug everybody.
We met some weird out the other night and I hugged somebody. Sully probably did too.
You know what's funny about that, though? This is my wife accuses me of this all the – actually, not my wife. My wife's best friend accuses me of this. She's like, you never hug me, but you hug the random people that are out with us. And I said, well, yeah, because I see you – 4 times a week, and if I were to hug you every single time, it would just be weird. I'd be hugging you all the time. I said,
I hug strangers and Emma VP. That's it.
That's it. So yeah, it's just the whole hugging thing. It truly does baffle me.
I
can't figure it out.
The kisses on the cheek with everybody. Oh, that's another one.
I can't figure it out.
That's another one that makes me crazy, too. And again, because I don't do it, it makes me feel like, well, see, I'm in control of my body, and I'm not going to do that. But then I feel like a jerk because then I feel like, see, there's a distance there that doesn't exist with other people. I lack a warmth. Is that true, MVP?
Definitely.
Same
yeah.
for you, you stink. Now listen, Sully is the next subject we have to address quickly that I just remembered here.
Can I ask one more question?
You may.
Because I feel like perhaps Emma and I are kindred spirits.
Do you feel like you owe Emma an apology?
No.
I don't? Okay, good. Because I don't want to be the creepy hug guy. That's not what my intention was. But I do think perhaps Emma and I are very similar where we find ourselves in this limbo often. Because I am surrounded by friends that hug. And it's weird for my wife regularly to be standing next to me and see every other husband hug. And then they get to me.
That's I'm like, what I'm saying.
Okay, then. We're out of here. And I don't do anything. And she's like, why are you so weird? What is wrong with you? It's just a hug. Is there, what's your problem?
See, I'm surprised because I would think you do that because you roll with it. You have a breezy, cool vibe about
almost
you.
Almost everything else I do.
Whereas I seem like a jerk. Like I seem jerky / nerdy or something.
Yep.
Yes to that MVP.
No. I am with you, money. Same for that goes
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, it's well,
that's
weird.
And I don't have a breezy cool vibe. It's just both.
No,
it's
you
just,
don't.
Nope.
All right. Now, next to Sully, quickly. We have to talk about this, though. What do you think, Brinson? You look, you live in Carolina, and therefore you support North Carolina teams. You know, you love your Wolfpack. That's what you talk about. That makes sense. Money's from Chicago, and, you know, half a lifetime ago moved out to Los Angeles and sort of embraced the Kings over the Blackhawks and so on. He still likes
Dodgers over the Cubs.
All that.
Lakers over the Bulls, yeah.
But you made a shift half a lifetime ago, and you've stuck to it. Now, then there's Sully over here. Sully behind the glass. He's from San Antonio.
Yep.
Okay, so he likes the Spurs.
Right.
His favorite hockey team? What's your favorite hockey team?
The Devils.
The Devils. The New Jersey Devils. What's your favorite NFL team?
The Seahawks.
Wow.
Then he tweets out, fine. So it's ridiculous. He's a front runner. He wants to argue with
baseball. Baseball team?
Don't have a baseball team.
Okay.
Doesn't have a baseball team.
Who if I had to pick one, it'd be the Braves.
Well, favorite college football team?
The Vols.
Oh, I went to Vols. He went to Tennessee.
I went to Tennessee. Yeah.
And that one makes sense, right?
Right.
That perfect sense. You give me Spurs, that Vols, makes sense.
Right.
He's a free agent for his other two.
That's right. That's right. So free agent, he chooses inexplicably, except for the fact that as he's coming of age, they happen to be winning Stanley Cups.
He loved that neutral zone trap.
I know.
Really got him excited,
By the way, as a side note.
Really got him excited.
Not to get into the puck, but obviously there's no way you are straight up front running. If you're like, I love watching New Jersey Devils hockey.
Yeah,
the most
it was
boring,
boring but also,
brand of puck almost ruined the almost.
It did. It ruined the league.
The sport almost went under.
They shrunk
because
the rink
of the way
because
they,
of it. Yeah, I know. I know. Trust me.
Okay, Brinson, all that is prelude.
He's been watching this. He's watching the Devils for 50 years. Trust me.
Yeah, no, just 20, but okay.
All right, Sully, please. Okay. Let the jury speak, Sully. Brinson, all that, whatever, we can debate whether or not he should be allowed to do all that. Then last week, the Devils are eliminated from the playoffs. He tweets out, go Preds, go.
I did not say that. I said good luck tonight.
What? What's
might
that your
well,
business?
Might as well be go Preds go. Good luck,
I
Preds.
I can't. What my team gets eliminated. I can't cheer.
No.
I can't pick
no.
up another team.
No. You can't.
You can. Just don't tweet about it.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion.
I mean, okay. Brinson. What
don't
about
go on the record.
He's a Texas guy.
They're on.
Who likes the Devils. Now he's a Predators
fan? They're in the Western Conference. They're in a completely different conference. I can't pick that team up.
Up.
That changes it a little bit. You can sort of pull for a team just to get some interest in the rest of the playoffs, I suppose.
Right.
There is a Tennessee connection here, and it's weird how Tennessee works. Like North Carolina and Tennessee in the South is weird like that. Like Nashville's not really that close to Knoxville when you think about it.
But there is this
Tennessee. Yeah, there is this Tennessee sort of connection there. A different conference. I think I'm far more weirded out by the Seahawks thing than I am by the Predators.
Win, play, show, the Seahawks thing, the Predators thing, or money hugging Emma? I mean, which is the weirdest of those?
Seahawks win, the
Seahawks,
hug,
yeah.
Predators show.
I'd go the hug, and the hug.
Money, this isn't.
I'm betting him across the board.
You can't do what he's doing, right? I mean, we've got to have some
standards.
Well,
as I said, I just think you don't.
You
don't go on the record. Like, once I love watching, and I know it's going to upset you, but I'm going to say it. I like watching Ovechkin play hockey.
I enjoy
the hell out
too.
Of it. So when they, I was pulling for them to knock off the Pens. I want to see him win a cup. He's one of the most exciting players I've watched in the last decade. But I would never go on Twitter and say, Let's go Ovi.
He's crazy. He's a crazy force of nature in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he uses zero energy in his own end, so he can save it all up for the offensive.
That's fine.
That's right. He doesn't try in the defensive zone.
Well, there's definitely a larger discussion here that we don't need to have right now, but about the fact that it's easier in 2018 and more acceptable to pull for people. Like, I'm a Braves fan and have been a Braves fan for a long time, ever since I was born or started watching baseball. But I really like Max Scherzer. And I root for Max Scherzer for a variety of different reasons. I like the way he pitches. I've had him on my fantasy teams. I've seen him pitch in person a few times. And I'm not going to root for him against the Braves, but I really like watching Max Scherzer pitch. And I just think it's easier to root for individuals now than it was 20 years ago when you.
So I can't like the Devils because of Scott Stevens and Scott Niedermeyer and Marty Brodeur.
You can.
Those are good reasons.
That's fine.
Those are good reasons not to like a team, though. For each of those three individuals you just cited.
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
Scott Stevens. What human being would watch Scott Stevens play and say, oh, that's my guy.
And be like, heck yeah.
Cheap shot creep.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen. See, now I want to ask another question. Then that's got to be it.
It's got to be it.
All right. Kevin Durant. Why are people rooting against him? So why are people so get so worked up about Kevin Durant in a world of actual bad people? Why is Kevin Durant the guy who is demonized by so many, Brinson?
Because of Michael Jordan. Because there's this asinine belief that Jordan would have never teamed up with anybody else to secure victory, even though he had Scottie Pippen, one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history, and Phil Jackson, the greatest coach in NBA history, potentially on his side, not to mention Tony Kukoc, who was very underrated in his own regard, and a bunch of other role players like Steve Kerr and B.J. Armstrong and Bill Cartwright. And I mean, they had loaded teams with the Bulls, but the concept that Kevin Durant could leave the Thunder and go to a new place and play on a loaded team bothers people in a way that is old school and sort of irrational, because Kevin Durant is a man of he's a great talents, and he can do what he wants and he can try to win championships. And if he wins titles, people will stop caring about it, in the same way that nobody cares how Peyton Manning won his second Super Bowl. They won't remember that he limped to the title on the back of a great defense. They'll just know that Peyton Manning has two titles in the end of the day. But
it's funny you say that, because I do remember the Peyton one. But what you're getting at, though, is why is it Reggie White? Why isn't Reggie White regarded as somebody who, well, he just jumped on with that with the great Brett Favre? That was shameful that he did.
I think it's because I'm fine, whatever. I mean, I would much rather live in San Francisco than Oklahoma City. Nothing against them, so I'm fine with it. And you've earned that. And he took a little bit less. He turned down a supermax kind of, so fine, whatever. I think what it is, though, is he created a juggernaut that cannot be beat. And he and Russell Westbrook were up 3-1 on this really good blossoming team and should have knocked them off. I mean, they should have won that series and probably gone on to win an NBA title together, and we would have had this great showdown every year between Oklahoma City and Golden State. And instead, the balance has tilted so far. I mean, it's probably going to go down as the greatest basketball team ever, because you can't touch them. I mean, there's nobody that's even remotely close to as good as that team is, and the only reason is because he decided to join them.
Boy, that's great. I'm with you completely on that. I think that's you've hit on something. But, of course, as you know, Money, the other side of that coin is he didn't ring chase. Maybe he did. Maybe he said, I got to get a chip before I retire. I don't want to be hanging on. Clyde Drexler did that with the Rockets towards the end, and it stunk a little bit. It had a little bit of that Peyton Manning whiff to it.
Gary Payton, Karl Malone with the Lakers.
Right to the Lakers.
Raymond Bourque.
Barkley to the Rockets.
The Avs. Not to say that Drexler and Bork didn't contribute to the titles that they won, weren't meaningful players on those teams, but it was at the very end of their career, whereas KD's in his prime, which is the point. I don't think he's ring chasing at the last minute in his final act of his career. Rather, he didn't join a great team. He joined the greatest team of all time, and that's what the Warriors are going to be. They're going to have 3 out of 4. The year that they didn't win, they win 73 games. And there's nothing to say that they can't win another one.
As long as they're together, they win every year.
You think so?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone comes close.
You watched that game against the Rockets, right? I
mean, they just toyed with them.
He scored 46, and they got destroyed. And like Steph made one three-pointer the entire game. And that's the thing, is like, if Steph Curry's off, then you have Kevin Durant, who's probably the like second best player in the NBA. And if those guys aren't hitting all their threes, then Klay Thompson will score 60 on you. And then Draymond's over there like kicking people in the jumps.
On the balls.
All right. Yeah. I think we did. Now MVP. Before we let Brinson go and money leaves, are you happy with how the show wound up?
Yeah, definitely. It's
you didn't
one.
Like the front of it though.
No.
What part? We can lose
just
whatever you want.
All of it.
Really? Okay. All of it.
We're gonna keep it though.
I think that's fair.
We don't have to. Eddie for Spaghetti. You. Don't do me any favors. I want it to be good.
No, I'm never gonna cut anything from the show. I thought it was fine. It's just like topics that I can't help with. That's it.
But listen, I predicted a home run at the outset.
And it was so a great show.
And we had Hall of Famers. We had Shecky Award winners in here, Brinson and,
yeah, no
and
argument
Money.
For me. Yeah, I agree.
But you said you didn't like what we were talking about.
I didn't like it. I just can't really help you with that. Those topics just, for me, just can't really get involved. Like, you know.
Oh, well, that's a different standard.
Yeah, I don't know
you
enough.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You found it compelling.
I always do.
Money?
I can see where Eddie's coming from. I think we geeked out a little bit.
Too much.
I think we
okay. Then
I think
you know
we
we'll
geeked out and dug into the past maybe a little bit,
too
little
much.
Too deep.
Okay, Brinson, if we had to cut something from the show, what would it be? Besides
well, I mean,
me.
My theory is that what we did is we created a broad spectrum of interesting topics for multi-generations to enjoy on this whatever fine website they're consuming this. Mm. But I guess if you're going to cut something out, maybe you cut out the Bill Murray stuff. I mean, okay. that feels, it okay. might have been doubling down on old middle-aged white people stuff.
Is that fair, Sully, back there? Yeah, it's like a bunch of old guys about 12 years past us.
Or,
about
you know what we could cut out, too, is the hug conversation.
Yeah, we could always ditch that.
We could always
ditch that.
We could always just kind of kick that aside.
Yeah.
You know, we could move on from that.
Shame the devil. Shame the devil if I'd ever do that. Bill Murray, you're gone. Brinson, you're welcome back anytime, as is the great Matt
Good
Money
stuff.
Smith. Make sure, Brinson, you listen to Matt Money Smith, like I say, AM 570. Petros and Money and Will Brinson, the Pick 6, the Daily Show now. You can watch it. You can listen to it, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't actually know. You can't watch it, but you can listen
to it. Oh, I thought
you
could watch it as well.
No, because I usually don't get dressed. It's a lot of chest hair, so just download it on your
Even
iTunes.
Better. Yeah, we really did cover the spectrum.
Really
started
did.
Out. I forgot even that we covered Brinson's
Say it.
Hairy chest. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Ooh, well done.